D-Mace, Vingen, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen, and David Janes here with you. The Predators won again last night, 5-2 against the St. Louis Blues. Nashville's seventh win in its past 10 games. And to talk about that and more on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, Predators general manager Barry Trotz. Hi, Barry. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you today?
We are doing well, thank you. So let's talk about this recent stretch of games. The offense is rolling, averaging nearly 4 goals per game during this stretch. What are you seeing other than the fact that the puck is finally going in the net?
Well, I just think we've been challenged to become a better team, and a lot of that has to do with I think the staff and the leadership group being very well prepared. And then secondly, I think the competition has forced us to become a better team. I think we played Colorado in the last 3 times in the last 2 weeks. And, I like to say they're in the Premier League and we're in the Champions League some nights. But our guys and the staff have played them really well. And that has carried on to, other opponents that we've played. So we've been challenged, and the guys have responded to the challenge quite well.
Barry, you have told us multiple times on this show that you are being open-minded about potential trades and realistic about the team's place in the NHL landscape at the moment. How much, if at all, has this stretch of 7 wins in 10 games altered your perception of how competitive this team can be?
I don't think it's changed my perception. I always thought our team could be a team that can play against the top level teams and hold our own, not necessarily maybe beat those teams, on a consistent basis. But I did feel that we could be competitive and win our share of games. So I probably what you're seeing lately is a little bit more of an uptick to what I thought we would be, because what I see is we're getting really timely saves. I think, let's call it what it is. I think UC Saros has been really a backbone. He's made real key saves against some really good teams and key moments. And we've gotten some key scoring at certain times. And when I put this team together, you're seeing some of the things that I was hoping to see. Like one night, Philip Forsberg gets 3. You get the other lines chipping in with 1 or 2, and then next night it's Steven Stamkos getting 4 goals, and you get other markers from your third and fourth line. So getting good goaltending and solid defensive team play with special teams mixed in there, that's sort of what that was always the vision, that we could have some of those guys that if they have the big nights they could carry you, and getting some scoring through the lineup. And then but it's taken some time, and I think our overall team defense is, our goals against average as a team is not where we want it to be yet, but I see a lot of good signs in that.
Barry Trotz is with us on D-Mace, Vingen, and Donick. Barry, you did make a trade late last week, sending Spencer Stastny to the Edmonton Oilers for a 2027 third round pick. Take us behind the scenes of that trade. How much interest had you received on Stastny, and were you able to extract more value from him than you anticipated?
We had some interest in him. I would say it was probably quite early, that we've made a trade with Spence, but there was some interest, and I think everybody was sort of gauging the market, since Thanksgiving a little bit. And, we looked at it, and we put a value on a couple people. If we got that value, we were going to move that asset because it was a area of strength being on defense. We got a third round. That is the value that we really thought we could get. And if we got it, we would move it, and we did. So what that does is we've carried 8 defensemen, and you always hear me say you never have enough defensemen, but we feel that we have enough in the system right now that we could move one. What that allows us to do with a 23-man roster is allow us to get to some of those forwards that we have. I want to see Zach LaRue. I want to see Kemmel back up here. I want to see O'Hara, Edstrom. I want to have the ability to do that. And with eight defensemen, I just felt that it was tougher to get to those guys because of the 23-man roster. By going to more traditional, carrying seven defensemen and maybe 13 forwards, you're able to get to almost every player on the roster now.
We'll talk with Barry Trotz, Nashville Predators GM. Now, Barry, what are you seeing in the young guys, Matthew Wood and Evangelista? Because in this process of you guys, you know, winning games, they played a key role in it, especially the last five games.
They absolutely have, and that's sort of what you want to see is your young guys. I mean, I've talked about the blend having, you know, the veteran guys support the young guys. You know, a great example of it is, you know, Steven Stamkos is having really good success playing with two younger guys in Svechkov and Wood, and in particular Wood and Stamkos have a little bit of chemistry. That's what I was hoping to see, and you know, I think Steven is you know, he's a Hall of Famer. He's a great leader, and having Matthew Wood play alongside him, same with Svechkov, it really helps in their development. And you know, with Luke Evangelista, I was saying during the stretch, the line of Forsberg, O'Reilly, and Evangelista looks very similar to the line that had a real good year for us was Forsberg, O'Reilly, and Nyquist. And you know, I think with Luke, you see his skating has just got a little bit better, and that's time, that's the commitment he put into the summer, and now he's getting some chemistry and some confidence in his game with two excellent players in Forsberg and O'Reilly. So that line's been really good. So I just think as we get, you know, a stretch that we're continuing to fight through, like a team like Colorado has made us play with a lot more pace, has forced us to execute at a higher level and probably concentrate on the details of the game at a higher level because of the fact that those teams are so strong. And it's carried into other games against other opponents.
Now, have you got a chance, because you guys just made a big announcement with adding Nick Saban, who was my coach in college, as part of the managerial team. Have you got a chance to talk to him since that's been announced?
No, not since it's been announced. We rolled in about 3 o'clock last night after the game. Our plane was delayed. So, no, I have not talked to Nick, but I have talked to Nick in previous times where he's been over to the Bridgestone, and he talked to our players during training camp. It's so wonderful that we have Bill Haslam as an owner, and you're able to add people. We got wonderful ownership, and then you add people like Nick Saban and people to the organization. I mean, I listen to Nick Saban. I mean, he's such a great speaker when it comes to what you look in a player, the process that you go through, his beliefs. I mean, those are beliefs that there's a lot of things that would overlap into hockey from the football field. And especially when it's regarding the athlete, the game's a little different, and the process to get a player to, I'll say, to the NFL versus the NHL, there's some similarities, but there's some differences too. So, but he'll be a wealth of knowledge because he's gone through, you know, he's got just a wealth of experience when it comes to dealing with athletes and creating culture.
And I guess that's what my next question was going to be. How much of what he's learned and what he knows from a football aspect relates or is transferable, say, to, you know, how you want to build a team and how you look at a team?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of things. You know, we spent some time talking about that. Nick actually spent time with the Andrew Burnett and his coaching staff talking coaching and beliefs and he was so kind with his time that you come out of those meetings and you have an understanding of, you know, you know, what successful people do and why they do it. And there's a certain standard that you hold people to do. How you deliver the message is always a little bit different. I mean, I think, you know, I listen to so many great coaches, and Nick being one of them. A lot of the messages I had and learned from Nick or from other coaches, you believe in them and you implement them, but you probably implement them with your own style, because you've got to always be yourself. I think players can read through that if you're trying to be someone else. So I think from that standpoint, there's so much that is transferable when it comes to the you always hear Nick talk about the process to becoming a good athlete, a process and the things that are required to become not only a top athlete, but an elite athlete, and then the process to become a good teammate, and then becoming a good team. There's certain processes that you have to go through and have to, you know, nothing's ever smooth. And so the message has to be consistent. And that's one thing that I think that I've seen Nick do over his time at Alabama in particular, that you want our coaches and our organization to do the same things, that have a very consistent message and deliver what we're saying.
We're talking to Barry Trotz, Predators general manager, on the heels of the announcement this afternoon that Nick Saban is closing on the purchase of a minority stake in the Nashville Predators. So, of course, Barry, D. Mace is always going to be available to you as a resource for the insights of how Nick Saban ticks, you know, what makes him tick. So
I would say just go to class, but you're not in school anymore, right. So it's not just go to class.
Some of it doesn't translate, I guess. Some of it doesn't translate. But Barry, it sounds like he's interested in, you know, he's a sports guy, right? This will probably be fun for him. And so he's a resource for you. I guess we're all trying to envision how much he wants to be involved. Like, I don't think he's going to be sitting on the bench next to Andrew Burnett, but I do wonder what, you know, what kind of level he wants to be on.
Yeah, I don't know that. I can't answer that. I think that's probably the conversations that that Bill Haslam and the ownership group and all that being involved. I can tell you this, you know, when Nick said that he'd make himself available to our staff and all that when he was in town in the fall. I mean, everybody was excited to talk coaching, just to talk philosophy. I mean, that's how you get better. You if you can pick the brains of some of the best people in, you know, the coaching level, the elite of the elite, it doesn't matter what it is, if it's in sports or if it's in music or in entertainment or anything. You hopefully can take something away that makes you better as a person, better as a coach, better as a leader, if you will. So, you know, I think that's probably a question for Nick and Bill and our ownership. But I'm really excited to have Nick Saban's name associated with the Nashville Predators, because when you think Nick Saban, you think winning.
Barry, another thing I think about as I watch is, what's the next level for this team? And you're seeing, you mentioned UC Soros is starting to play his best hockey of the season. Philip Forsberg's had a couple of dominating games here recently. Roman Josi, of course, we saw what happened to the team when he was out. Just him being back has made a big difference. But I still think there's another level to his game. How close do you think he is to getting back to that dominating level that we've seen?
Well, I can say this. I'm hoping that he can do that. But what Roman has done is just—you look at our record with Roman and without Roman, it's vastly different. But you know, Roman is an elite defenseman. He still is. I think as he's getting older, seeing him being a little more calculated in some of the things that he does. Will probably be his evolution. His father time will kick in at some point, but he's just a steadying influence. He's a good leader. He's a one heck of a hockey player, as we know. And we are a better team with him. And, you know, Roman is, as I say, he's a consummate pro night in and night out.
We've got time for one more here, Barry. I'm just curious. This is just from outside perspective. But what was your reaction when you see just an absolute blockbuster trade like we saw the other day with Quinn Hughes coming into the Central Division and a trade between two Western Conference rivals?
The first thing is, wow. I mean, you know, it's great. It's great to see that. As much as I'm in the business, I'm a fan of the business. To see a trade like that is also really refreshing. You see the direction of and the commitment of Vancouver. They obviously knew that the re-signing of Quinn Hughes was probably not in the cards. And so they had to forge a direction that was very, very distinct, if you will. And but on the other side, you see the commitment and the assets that went the other way. Obviously, Billy Guerin feels that this will put him in a position to maybe go over the top a little bit. But there is a lot of assets going the other way. With that being said, the best player right now is Quinn Hughes. Anytime you're moving a star player like Quinn Hughes, you win the trade. You're going to win the trade immediately. You see it all the time. You win it immediately because the assets that go the other way are usually on the futures, if you will. Obviously, they gave up you know, former first round picks and a first round pick and. As well as a young defenseman that they feel that is maybe the closest thing to replace Hughes in the future. And if they hit it right, if Vancouver hit it right, you know, they may win the trade and down the road. But I think it both teams won in this one because Vancouver really got a big haul for Quinn Hughes. And Quinn Hughes is one of the top defensemen in the National Hockey League. He's one of those game-changing type guys that goes into Minnesota's lineup. So, you know, I look back at, in time of some of the trades that have been made. Nieuwendijk, for instance, went to, you know, a trade for Jerome McGinley. At the time, you know, Nieuwendijk goes to
Dallas. Yeah.
Dallas wins a cup, and so they won the trade. But then you look 4 or 5 years down the road from that, Jerome McGinley is a premier power forward and the face of Calgary franchise for a long time. So these trades, when you make them, they go both ways, but always you have to separate them. And the only way you separate them is time and then evaluate them down the road. Because right now, if you look at it, the best player went to Minnesota. The future's best player, we'll have to see how far or how high that ceiling hits in return. So, but I think it was a hell of a trade by both general managers. It's exciting for the league. I mean, you talk about the Central Division, which is our division. You got Colorado, you got Dallas, and you got Minnesota. And if you count up their wins and losses and their records between those three teams, I mean, it's astounding. It's like 75-20, you know, in terms of wins and losses just in our division. So that's the competition going ahead of us for the next number of years. So we're going to have to build a team that is very sustainable to play against them. I look at it as where we are with a number of young players that we have coming. It almost feels like we're in a in that old division where we played Detroit a whole bunch of times and they just kept making us better. And then, you know, in time we passed them. So the best teacher is good hockey teams, and there's a lot in the Central Division.
Predators GM Barry Trotz has been our guest on DMA's Vingan and Donick. He joins us every week during hockey season. Barry, as always, thank you so much for your time. We'll catch up next week.
All right. Take care, guys.
615-737-1025. We'll react to what Barry Trotz had to say. Coming up next, you can as well at 615-737-1025. We are presented by Bax Homeworks. Financing options are available to make your remodel easier than you think with Bax Homeworks. Get a free estimate now at baxhomeworks.com. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025. The Game, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Always a pleasure to be joined by Barry Trotz.
Yes.
I am interested in how involved Nick Saban ultimately is. So in case you missed the news earlier today, Nick Saban has purchased a minority stake in the Nashville Predators. It is unclear how much he purchased of the Nashville Predators. In the news release, there isn't a he owns 5% of the team, something like that, right? And look, Nick Saban's got a lot of other things to do, especially during football season. But I am curious to see his involvement in the organization. Skyler says, ask Trotz if he can get Nick Saban to give the Titans some tips. Well, I think Nick Saban's going to be busy with the Predators.
Yeah. Too bad, Titans.
Right. But, Derek, you talked about it with Barry Trotz. Of course, you were coached by Nick Saban. Even having him around in some capacity, even if it's limited, it would be interesting to see how much he wants to be involved, how hands-on he wants to be.
Yeah, I think he, a guy that that has accomplished what he's accomplished in the field of athletics, and I'm not talking about stuff off the field, but I'm just saying the field of athletics, it brings a certain cachet when you walk into a place. And I'm sure if he's around, you know, the facility or during the games, I would tend to believe it does, you know, mean something or does bring some type of energy. Barry even talked about it, you know. The coaches were excited to sort of pick his brain about certain things in when it comes to the aspect of coaching, how to build a winning organization, stuff like that, to be a winner, how to develop your players. So all these things are nuggets. And listen, again, you have, in my mind, the greatest college coach ever. Now a part of your organization, you need to be go picking his brain any chance you can get. If he's allowed that to happen, then, you know, you need to take advantage of it, especially with the Predators being in a situation that they're in as an organization.
I think these are fun questions just to look at. You love having a resource in there. I think Nick Saban is smart enough to know he's not going to come in there saying this is how you run a hockey team. But I think there's some great, as Barry Trotz said, there's some great parallels of just process, team building, organization building that could be really valuable perspective. Just as, you know, thinking outside the box, getting outside perspective where you're in your own hockey bubble for all these years, and just getting expertise from the outside could be really helpful on the right level. And I think you're right, Adam. I would tend to think that it's not a huge percentage that he's buying into, but he's going to be on the team. And so there's a lot of people on the team, right? Bill Haslam is going to be at the forefront. There's still a great group of people, a lot of which are responsible for really saving the team. Like, well, I don't think we would have a team if it weren't for a lot of these guys on the ownership group roster that really stepped up for the city when it looked like the team might be gone. And not a lot of those guys are in the limelight, right? You don't hear them coming in every day saying, yeah, I was talking to Barry Trotz or I was over there talking to Philip Forsberg. But Nick Saban is so unique. I'm just curious, how do you try to use that? Like, yeah, he's part of the group. How do you use him? What does he want to do?
Well, one texter suggests that Nick Saban could take over for Paul McCann and do the PA announcing. Can you imagine Nick Saban as a PA announcer?
Wait a minute,
you
can't do that to Paul?
No.
We got to have Paul.
Predators Paul. Goal. Predators goal scored by number 9, Philip Forsberg. I can't do a good Nick Saban impression. I'll have to work on it.
I mean, could he at least be in a couple of the commercials like he is when he says, hey, check-in time's at 6 o'clock. It's 5:55. Well, yeah, I mean, it's just
have your butt in the seat. He could take over for me. Have this your butt in the seat.
This isn't a spa.
Make sure you're sitting down.
Let's talk about how the Predators are playing on the ice here for a few minutes. a 5-2 win in St. Louis last night. Philip Forsberg with a hat trick. The Predators are rolling. They've won 7 out of 10. They are on the periphery of the Western Conference wild card race. As we have stated and stated and stated again, the Predators have a long way to go to truly be in the mix. I looked this up today just for kicks and giggles. I went to my friends at SportLogic. I looked at the Predators' playoff odds on the morning of November 26th, which was the day that the 7-3-0 stretch started. That morning, their playoff odds were 0.7%. Today, this morning, 5.7%.
Wow, yes.
So they've gained 5 percentage points by winning 7 of 10.
I don't look at that yet. I think about 55 or 60 games, I think that number becomes much more significant.
I think my point, though, I understand what you're saying. My point is, I was just adding some context to the fact that they've won so much lately because of the hole they dug for themselves early on. Winning 7 out of 10 barely made a dent
right. In
their long-term prospects.
And that is very legitimate. I think you have to see it for another few weeks. And that's their mantra right now, is win the week. They know they don't have to win every game. But if you sit there and say, well, we've got to win every game, you may not play as well. I think it's just putting together steady, consistent play and see where you're at in a few more weeks. But I think what you calculated last week, Adam, I don't think you and I were on the air together to really hit on it, but what would you have to do to get to around 90 points? Because this year, it may be, because of where we sit right now, it's entirely possible that it may not take what it takes some years, 95, 96 points, to get the last playoff spot. You may only need 89 or 90 by some projections, and that doesn't mean those projections are right. That could change, right? But you have to say, what's realistic? Can this team play at like a 550 or 575 point percentage clip from here to the end of the season and be realistic? That's what you have to try to find out, and you've got some time. Derek was asking off the air, you know, what's your time frame? So the Olympic break is early February, and that's a month before the trade deadline. I think where you are at that time is critical, right? You can't be 5 or 6 points out where they are right now then and still think you have a great chance, because that 5.7 will go back down to 1 or 2. But if you're within 1 or 2 points by then it's a different discussion.
And one thing to note about how the Predators have been playing lately is they are shooting the lights out. They have scored 39 goals over the past 10 games. That's easy math. That's 3.9 goals per game. It's pretty damn good. Is it sustainable? I don't know.
No, they're not. But it's correcting. Should they have been scoring 2.3? No. So the real team, I think,
is somewhere
in the middle. Yeah.
Is somewhere in the middle.
Can they average 3? That's the question. Can they average 3.1? That's really what the answer needs to be.
For context, from the beginning of last season through the loss to the Panthers, the 8-3 loss to the Panthers before this stretch started, that's 104 games. The Predators shot 8.7%. That's bad. Over the past 10 games, the Predators are shooting 14%. That's good and unsustainable. So to Willie's point, can they fall somewhere in the middle in the 10-11% range shooting-wise? And is that enough to truly get them back in the mix? Because to get to 90 points from a points percentage standpoint, I think they are going to have to play like a top 10 to 12 team in the NHL over the course of the rest of the season to truly have a chance to even be in the playoff conversation at the end of the season. That's asking a lot. And that just goes to show you how far down they were before this stretch started.
And the real team will, I think, emerge. I do think they were not only, when you said the shooting percentage is bad, it's bad and unlucky. And now, right now, I think they're playing good hockey and they're getting a few more bounces, maybe a few more breaks as well. But that's kind of hockey. I think there's some teams right now that are probably punching above their weight that the Predators would have to catch. And there's probably some teams that, let's take the Jets. They've got Connor Hellebuyck back now. He elevates everybody. If he can do that again, you got to find a way to get ahead of the Jets. You're not too far from them, but you've got to catch them. You've got to catch a lot of teams. But I asked myself, that's why I think I asked about Roman Josi. Like, where can the Predators become the team that you're saying that they have to be? We're all saying it, right? For them to be a better team than they've been, they need Roman Josi to get closer to the dominant force that he's been over the years. And he hasn't been that yet this year. He's been better. Having him in there is a huge help. And he's been steady, but he hasn't dominated yet. Can Philip Forsberg build on this goal stretch? Can Stamkos continue to be a force? Because these are the questions they have to ask. I think they were ready to say, no, none of this is happening. But I think right now what I'm seeing is a team that sort of believes right now in their formula. They're playing much, much better. The analytics are falling into line. And so if they can get great play from UC Saros, which is always a game changer, right? He can elevate them if he can continue to play this way. Who knows? It's still a long shot, right? And we have to be realistic about that. But there's still time to figure it out.
615-737-1025 will take your thoughts on the Predators, who are back in action tomorrow night against the Carolina Hurricanes. Puck drop at 7, pregame at 6, right here on 102.5 The Game. We'll wrap up the show. Coming up next, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 102.5 The Game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. I don't mean to alarm anybody, but Lipscomb is beating Duke at Cameron Indoor Stadium right now. 5 minutes left in the first half. 35-31 Lipscomb.
Let's go, Lipscomb.
Don't like that. Don't like that.
Let me hush.
Are you worried?
Let me hush.
Have you met me? I'm worried.
Yes, he's worried.
I'm worried all the time.
Oh, by the way, Vandy beat about how much, Willie?
44. 105-61.
Wow.
If it makes you feel better, Derek, your Spartans are up 20-6 on Toledo right now, for what it's worth.
Yeah, they needed to play better because they darn near lost this weekend versus Penn State.
Tomorrow, Vanderbilt at Memphis. Intriguing in-state matchup. Mm-hmm. Memphis has had their way with the Doors over the years. So good road test for 10-0 Vanderbilt, ranked 11th in the KenPom. I am very intrigued by this Vanderbilt team. We need to talk some hoops here in the coming weeks as it plays. I think it's fun. Kind of all three of us have teams,
teams that
we like that are pretty good. David, what do you think of Memphis?
Memphis,
we don't need to talk about Memphis right now. They need a lot of work. They have a lot of work to do.
They'll be jacked up to have Vanderbilt coming into.
Oh no, they will.
That'll be a good game.
The difference in this game so far for Lipscomb, Duke. 15 turnovers. Lipscomb, 19 points off of those 15
That'll
turnovers. 19-5 points off turnovers in favor of the Bisons with an S.
Yes, Bisons.
But Lipscomb up on Duke at Cameron Indoor Stadium. Nope. You got a whole other half.
Don't worry about it. You got a whole.
It's just the first half, yeah.
Yeah, just know and understand.
That's what they all say.
Vandy beat him by 45.
Remember that. That's 44. Little point.
He said 50.
44.
I think it was 50.
Well, you know what?
At one point they were up 60.
Okay. Can we talk about something else? I mean, this is my fault. I brought it up. But
let's talk about
something else for a moment. I'm wondering if the Tennessee Titans might be able to do something on Sunday that they haven't done in more than a calendar year. And that's win a damn home game because they've got the Chiefs coming into town on Sunday. Of course, no Patrick Mahomes. He underwent knee surgery yesterday. He's out for the remainder of the season. The Chiefs have already been eliminated from the postseason. They will miss the playoffs for the first time since 2014. And I actually saw a story, I believe it was on Pro Football Talk, that the line on this game moved 8 points towards the Titans after the news of Patrick Mahomes. It was an 11.5-point spread. And then it was a 3.5-point spread in favor of the Kansas City Chiefs. So I'm wondering, can the Titans finally get off the schneid? Now, I believe they put their entire safety room on the injured reserve today. And Gardner Minshew, who will be starting at quarterback for the Chiefs, 4-2 against the Titans in his career. 8 touchdowns, 2 interceptions.
Man, they haven't even beat the backup consistently.
So I'm wondering. I mean, there's a lot working against the Titans because they are, of course, the Titans. But I am wondering. I'm wondering the mental state of the Kansas City Chiefs on Sunday. Again, out of the playoffs for the first time since 2014. Three games left to play. Three meaningless games left to play. Now, they've played meaningless games before where they've had the AFC all wrapped up in the final week of the regular season, and then everybody sits out because nobody wants to get hurt. But this is three games with nothing to play for because they're going to miss the playoffs. No Patrick Mahomes. I'm wondering, Derek and Willie, about the mental state of the Chiefs and whether the Titans can take advantage of that despite their limitations.
Well, I would tend to think in this situation the Titans may be able to take advantage of it because when you've had a team that has had so much success and then now they're virtually out of it, you probably have guys dealing with injuries, you know, maybe a twisted ankle that if they were still in it, he can play. But now they're not in it, we're going to sit them down. So a lot of this stuff come into play, or a guy that thought about getting surgery at the end of the season, but look at it, and I'm talking about one of their marquee players, and look at it like, well, I can do it now and jumpstart my rehab. Okay, we're going to shut him down now. So these are all the things that can affect a team like the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm not saying they're going to come here and lay down because they're not, but I think – because they know that they're completely out of it, there's probably guys that outside of Patrick Mahomes, he's out, but there are other guys that are probably dealing with injuries. Do they shut those guys down, those marquee guys down now, or do they continue to let them play? That's going to be one of the things that I look at, like their inactive sheet or guys that are on the injury report. How many of those guys now are on the injury report that are guys that may not play in this game outside of Patrick Mahomes? So, yeah, the Titans got a shot, but they're dealing with their own set of injuries in the secondary. And you hadn't beat Gardner Minshew but twice.
In six tries.
And the way San Fran looked last week as far as throwing the ball against that secondary, Gardner Minshew can have another big day. And I'm going to emphasize can. Because then again, those guys got a four-week practice. I'm talking about the backups now that are playing for the Titans in the secondary. Maybe they're a little bit better than what they showed last week.
Kevin Winston, Mike Brown, and who am I blanking on right now? Kevin Winston, Mike Brown, and Xavier Woods have all been placed on season-ending injured reserve.
Okay, so what happened to Winston?
Was it an ankle? I'm not sure.
He suffered a hamstring injury on Sunday against the 49ers, okay. As did
all
Xavier
of them
Woods.
Were hamstrings, wasn't it?
Xavier Woods also suffered a hamstring injury. Mike Brown suffered an ankle injury.
Hmm. That was the ankle injury. Okay.
But they're all done.
Two hamstrings and an ankle. Ouch. Shut them down.
I really wish Winston could keep playing because that's a guy that is the long term. I thought was flashing. Mm-hmm. I was liking what I was seeing. Like, he needs to play those games, but obviously they won't know. It's one thing if you kind of know what you got, shut a guy down for the right reason. And as we talked about, how do you tank in the NFL? Well, so and so maybe he could play if the playoffs were on the line, but he can't. You know, we're eliminated. Mm-hmm. Let's just shut him down. What does that do? It has now you hiring three safety. Who are the safeties this weekend? Is it the three of us? I don't know. Might as well be.
Hey, listen, if Phillip Rivers can come out of retirement, let me do it too.
What did you guys think of that? That was some of the clips from Phillip Rivers. That was it did look like a 44-year-old guy.
I wanted him to win so bad.
I don't need to see it again.
I wanted him to win so bad.
But I mean, they almost beat the Seahawks. Yes. That's the number one defense in the league. They almost did it.
Just think of how sore he was after the game, like that Monday. Oh, my goodness. I know he couldn't walk. I know it.
Yeah, I saw it. It was a cool story. I don't need to see it again, although I believe he is continuing to start.
I want him to win the Super Bowl, at least go to the Super Bowl, because it's a good story, man. It's a real good story. And he needs that continued.
He needs that health insurance. He needs that health insurance. He absolutely needs that health insurance. So we'll see what happens there. David James has brought to my attention, speaking of the ACC, it's going to roll out a new nine-game conference schedule for the 2026 football season in a modified form. The ACC is calling it a quote-unquote transition year. 12 of its 17 schools will play nine conference games. The remaining five will play just eight, which makes no
sense. Yeah, it makes no sense. Like, who are those five teams that's only going to play eight?
Clemson, Georgia Tech, Florida State, North Carolina, and Boston College will play just
what
eight.
It's a mess.
The other teams are like, why we can't
These
play
These leagues eight? Are too big.
Goodness.
Why are we doing this? Why did they ever do this?
Money, money, money.
This marks the fourth different scheduling format for the ACC in the past 4 years.
Become like the Big Ten, stable, okay?
In 2022, the ACC agreed to scrap divisions for the 2023 season. In 2024, Cal, Stanford, and SMU joined the league, forcing the ACC to adjust its annual rivalry games to fit the expanded roster of schools. The new nine-game league schedule will allow for increased flexibility in scheduling and allow schools to face off more frequently.
Man, oh man. One set of teams play nine, the other play... It makes
you don't
sense.
Play half the teams in your league. Goodness. It just doesn't make any sense.
It does not make a lick of sense. Neither does the fact that Lipscomb is still beating Duke with
What's the score?
45-41 okay. with a minute and a half left.
So they've got a
half.
Shot to lead at the half. That would be huge.
Yes.
Lipscomb has played a lot better. Vanderbilt beat them November the 3rd, you know, opening night.
Okay, Willie.
105-61.
Let's remember that. Opening
just
night.
Just throwing that in there. But since then, Lipscomb's played better. They've won five in a row. They've got a new coach.
He's trying to make you
Kevin
feel better.
I'm trying to make you feel better,
yeah,
Adam.
Trying to make you feel, they're not some old, you know, just some old
Vanderbilt,
team.
Vanderbilt basketball has been playing exceptionally well. Willie, I know you don't like to look at bracketology, especially
I've seen it.
In December.
I was given it to
in
I didn't
December,
go look it up.
But Joe Lunardi.
I don't want to hear Joe's name right now.
Joe Lunardi.
I don't want to hear it.
It's not much yet.
I've Wait, hold
heard.
On.
I've
he had Vanderbilt on the three line
I know.
As an automatic qualifier, which means he thinks Vanderbilt is going to win the SEC.
Oh.
They haven't even played a league game yet.
So what?
Joe is bored.
Well, if he
is
I would
anybody
rather him,
really no, looking at this,
I would rather him be bored and pick my team to be bored and not pick
yeah,
my team.
I know. It's just so crazy. He's
Willie
doing bracketology.
It.
In
hates
December.
It.
To be fair, I believe he does bracketology as soon as the Nets are cut down on the previous national championship.
Oh man.
The season is young, but it is starting to take shape. Yeah, conference play is just a couple of weeks away here.
One texter says, I would probably shut down Chris Jones and tell Travis Kelce to go to Cabo and come back in 6 months. I'm not sure Travis Kelce is coming back. Mm-hmm. I think this might be the end of the line.
Well, in this particular week, we were talking about this earlier in the show. When is the last time the Chiefs played a game where they were out of it? It's been over a decade. Nobody on that team has been in this position. Like the reality of we are out. It's one thing to be on the outside looking in where it looks bleak, but you still have a chance. They are out. So what will that look like? And especially against the Titans, who have trouble winning games. So
well, hopefully
it could
look
be
like a
intriguing
win for the Titans.
Just from that aspect.
Yeah.
And you got the mustache. Is Minshew still wearing a mustache, I assume? Did anybody see him?
I haven't checked.
He's had some good games against the Titans.
Yeah.
But to your point, Derek, Phillip Rivers bought five more years of health insurance.
Damn,
for,
how can I
for
do
playing
that?
In one game? My Get knees, back in there.
My knee's shot, man. My left knee is shot. It's not. It'll hold up.
Just
for one
fair
play.
Catch one punt and be done with it.
Yeah, I can do that.
Can you
Titans,
do that?
Bring me on.
Can you fair catch one
punt?
Yeah,
I can fair catch.
Okay.
But knowing me, I wouldn't do it, and then I'll pay for it.
This is my dream that I've come up with. You know how the e-bug concept is out there?
Yes.
Which is evolving.
Emergency backup goalie.
Right. I think baseball, instead of in the major leagues, you have like the left fielder or the third baseman come in there when you're getting blown out, the throw Ephus pitches just to get the last three outs. I think you should have a guy like me all summer long just standing by in the dugout. You know, not in the dugout, but just in the bullpen. And if you need that guy, instead of bringing in the left fielder or the third baseman, I come in and try. I train, and I try to get the last three outs. Now, what would the crowd rather see?
Depending on Which what team, type of game?
Well, I mean, the game's over. The game's over. It's okay. Already 15-2 or whatever. It's a blowout.
Okay.
So what would be more intriguing? I think the e-bug pitcher.
Yeah, I think you would.
The e-bump. You come off the bump.
I think you would pass out, Willie. I think you would be so – I think you would just, like, pass out. Like,
my strategy would be to throw so slow that they've never seen anything that slow and have the movement and the location, and I would get them out. I would do it. And the crowd would go nuts. And my team would lose 15-2. And if I gave up like four home runs, that's okay. Game's over anyway.
Hey. Maybe we should try that in the minors.
Let's make it happen. Let's make it happen.
I think we should make it happen.
All right. Well, that'll do it for us today. It appears that Duke is leading by 3 at halftime.
Dang it.
So we'll see what happens in the second half. We'll see what happens in the second half. But we will be back tomorrow live from Bridgestone Arena. 3 o'clock, we'll talk to you then.
Be love, love on your people. Have a safe, blessed, and wonderful day. I love you. The team loves you. You hear that song. Don't you forget about us, because we definitely won't forget about you. See you tomorrow, 3 p.m. on 102.5 The Game. Peace.